pressure, playing catch, time a corner, doing raids. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dead buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around.
All right, so there he is. There's
look at that guy.
To a picture of my buddy here, Brent. Brent Gentling, by the way, who is someone I've known for like over a decade, but he's huge on YouTube. It's weird when your friends are like doing that, you know, doing that thing, and it's like, oh, wow. And or also, I guess your friends, you know, they go like, no, I'm doing this thing, and you're like, yeah, that's cool. But then you look up one day and they have like 100,000 subscribers and you're like, oh, wow, you're like really doing that thing. Okay.
This is happening. Yeah.
Wow. And also, do you want to be on my podcast? But so anyway, he's my buddy. I've known him forever. He's actually, I know him through my brother. He's really great friends with my brother and thus we are great friends. And yeah. And so he's doing this thing on YouTube and he does DIY stuff and home improvement stuff. And he's also a newly a father. So I was like, hey, perfect Radioactive Dad's guest. And so we'll have Brent in here a little bit later and have awesome. Some DIY tips or some home improvement stuff, because this is Radioactive Dad's on Adobe Radio. I'm Brett. He's Nathan. He used to be on iCarly. I used to be one time I threw up on NCIS.
Hey, that's just one career summed up in one sentence.
Yeah, man, they thought I had Ebola on there.
Wow.
Yes, episode. But
what was the throw up made of?
Oatmeal, cold oatmeal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We were doing the scene. I was acting all sick. They sweat me up, you know, with like water or whatever. And then you do the lines, and then they just say freeze. And then some person comes in with a paper cup with cold oatmeal and a plastic spoon, and you're just like frozen, but you open your mouth, and they put it in, and then they go, the person scurries away off into the dark nether region.
Like a little cockroach.
Of where do they shoot? They shoot down on Paramount, you know, back into their little paper cup oatmeal closet. And then they go, action. And you go,
please tell me that's what it sounded like.
Yeah. You know what's funny? If you find that episode or are interested. Sorry, man, I choke on my own throat all the time. You ever do that? It's terrible.
I don't know.
You just kind of choke up when you're trying to talk, like the tongue gets caught in the. I need some water. Where's some water?
You should do that.
Anyway, what's fun, and if people are interested and they want to go check it out or whatever, the guy I throw up on in the episode was fellow guest star for that episode, but fellow Adobe Radio host, Wee Sam Keesh.
Oh!
There's a small world there, Nathan.
Wow. Good old Wee Sam. Poor guy. Getting your nastiness on him.
I know, man.
He's too good for that.
It was fun because we were on Awkward together, and so we knew each other, and then we're, you know, podcasting together and both on Adobe and everything, and then we both get this job, and then I, you know, we see the script, and I'm like, I'm going to puke on you. This is going to be great.
So that's so funny.
So far.
You know, I always wonder with actor puke, you know, because they're made of some of the most interesting things and some fascinating textures. I've always wondered sometimes, like, More comes out of the actor's mouth than I think a human mouth can contain.
Sure. Okay. Uh-huh.
So sometimes I wonder if like that puke, it starts that way, mm-hmm. but it's so gross.
It's gross.
And it tastes nasty and the texture is so nasty and your brain is hearing you going, you know, and like you're heaving and all that stuff and all this nastiness is coming out. Sometimes I wonder how many times an actor's body has taken over and just, you know, really gone for authenticity and just utterly thrown up on technically on cue.
Yeah, that's gross. That's gross, man. That's gross. And also, the answer to your question is yes.
Really? Can you?
I have a story.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for. Woo!
Story
time with Brett.
Oh, this is about a pretty famous person too, but it's a real story, and they're a great actor and a wonderful human being. So hopefully they understand that I'm just, this is to the truth. You know the show This Is Us, Nathan? You ever heard of that? It's a little show.
I have heard of that show.
Well, there's this really sexy dude on it named Milo Ventimiglia. And boy, is he sexy. He's got a jawline. He's got charm and charisma that nobody can resist, including yours truly. I did a thing out of my setup. I don't know. A long one, but I was having fun. I did a thing with him one time. And I did a web series called Chosen. It was on Crackle. And it was really, really cool. It was like this action series where ordinary citizens were tasked with assassinating each other, all to please some sort of pseudo deep state shadow organization or something. It was a crazy show. And Milo was the lead of it. And I played a kid who got himself wrapped up in this world. And Milo needed to get some answers from this kid on like how that world worked or whatever. And so we met and we had like a fight scene and he was chasing me. We're shooting fake guns at each other and stuff. Like it was a day, man. I mean, it was awesome. And he's screaming at me and all this stuff. And we became friends and he's the coolest dude ever. But right after our scene together in the show, his character stands up and walks off to the side of this warehouse where we were just wrestling and fighting and all this stuff. And he walks over and he throws up in the script. He's overcome with all the nerves and whatever. And so they had this discussion about what Milo was going to throw up. And Milo just boldly said to them, like, "I'm just going to throw up." And they were like, okay. I mean, we could get some cream of mushroom soup or something like that. And he was like, "Nah, you just keep it on me. I'm going to walk over there." He was producing the thing as well, by the way. So he had so he could, you know, talk creatively. And he was like, "Why don't we just shoot it in one take? You follow me here. We'll keep Brett in the background there in the shot. He's writhing around on the ground and I'll walk over here to the side and I'm just going to throw up." And they were like, "Okay." And he threw up. He had a full breakdown and threw up. And I was like, man, this guy is sexy and an actor. My God. Like, yeah, this is a true story. 100% true.
Wow. That's the sexiest acting story that you could possibly have for a man who's just like throwing up.
Saliva-y and like,
yeah,
gross. And like, I don't know. I mean, he kind of put his hand over his mouth. Like, you should go watch it. It's on Crackle. Crackle's still out there. People can go watch it. It was called Chosen. Man. This was in season one. I think it's episode two. But no, honestly, because it's great. It's a great scene. He crushes it. I think I'm good in it, but that's not the point.
I'm sure you are, Brett.
He is awesome though. And just, I don't know. It was badass and cool and yeah.
Anyway. That's insane. I mean, I've heard, obviously, you know, you always hear stories all the time of like an actor that can cry on command and, you know, like just on a dime, drop the one tear out of one specific eye. But I have never heard of anyone who can puke on command.
It must be on his resume.
It must be, because that's a talent.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a cool dude, man. We worked together again on another web series called Relationship Status. And he's really cool. He's always like, every time I bump into him out there, he's just like Milo Ventimiglia is a two-handed shaker. Like, he's that genuine, you know? He just does it authentically. He's that nice of a guy. So,
man, that's all you need. That's all I need to hear. If I catch wind of a two-handed shaker, I already know everything I need to know about the guy.
It's like how George Clooney probably shakes people's hands, you know?
Probably.
Super classy is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like a real classy George Clooney type.
Oh, no, Reggie's back.
He never left.
Oh, no, people are going to be able to tell that we record two episodes at once sometimes.
Oh, that's
this
true.
Sweatshirt, Nathan, switching gears a little bit, this sweatshirt on the Zoom, this is going to be hard to deny that I, you know, like I'm definitely just wearing it back to back.
It's true. It's pretty recognizable.
Yeah.
I'm really ashamed of you. But to be fair, I'm wearing the same thing too. So I can't really play the holier than thou at this point.
What's the most uncomfortable thing you've ever had to do on camera? Like in that sort of way, like where you're doing something that just feels like you're throwing up cold oatmeal, you know? It's like, this is just feels weird.
Yeah, I haven't really, well, this is probably going to seem like a cop out. I haven't really had any of those, like, actual literal gross things that I've had to do. So I wish I had something better like that. But honestly, this totally seems like a cop out. But one of the weirdest things was on iCarly, the episode where Sam and Freddie kiss for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the most uncomfortable episodes ever.
Why?
That we ever shot. Because, well, I feel so bad for her. Jeanette was not comfortable at all with the whole thing, because I think she had, I don't think she'd ever kissed anyone at that point. Uh-huh. And so I think she was kind of freaked out because, one, at that point, we were like practically siblings. So yeah, it was really weird, like that interaction where like we've
How
known each other.
In was that?
This was, I think it was our second season, but it was toward the end. And the second season was like 40 episodes long. Yeah. So,
no, dude, shooting a TV show is like being at summer camp. You guys get close. As friends, as colleagues, whatever. So cool.
Yeah. Cause like even in the first season, that was 26 episodes and we were like doing school together. We were literally together all the time.
Oh, right.
So we were, you know, we were super in close proximity with each other, and that made it like extra uncomfortable too. But it was also the fact that like when you have to do anything remotely romantic on set, it's super awkward because it's supposed to be this like, you know, when it's real life, it's this very intense, like emotional, very one-on-one thing. But then when you're doing it on camera, there's like, you know, I guess maybe not for
what?
You know.
Emotional, intense. What? Feelings? What are those?
Strange.
I'm kidding. You mean there's not a boom guy standing there? There's not a
in real life, believe it or not. No. Which is weird for us to imagine because that's always how it is.
Yeah, I'm always looking to the fake director, like in life. It's a bit I do, actually.
Yeah.
Like I really? Do this. Oh yeah, all the time. Like if I say something dumb, I'll just like look at the person I'm talking to and I'll go, hold on, and I'll look to the side and go, can we take that again? Do you mind? I'm gonna go back from. Let me go back again. Yeah, because that's how it is on set. You know, there's always someone standing right there, whether you're supposed to be making out or whether you're just having a conversation. You know,
yeah,
weird.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And also because you guys were minors at that point, mm-hmm. your parents were there too, weren't they?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, so I know that.
That's fun.
Yeah. Really, really, really awkward. At that point, it was also just as much as we knew each other and were very close. Like it was the whole crew that we knew very closely as well. So it was just really awkward, especially for her having that like first time experience in front of all of these people. And like, for me, actually, I guess at that point, my only like, at least as a, you know, teenager, that's not when you're five and you're like running around, you know, kissing people under the slide. this was like,
you know,
my,
you know, like you do, like when you're five,
like you do when you're five, like, yeah,
just
yeah.
kissing everybody on the playground, you know, like you do.
Yeah. Real classy.
Yeah. Real classy. You know, keeping it classy in elementary school, you know, like you do, you know?
Yeah. It's just me. I don't know. So all of my experiences with kissing people had been while acting. So like whether it was in acting class, like for a scene for a showcase or on iCarly, and I had already done that. And so I felt pretty comfortable with it. It was just like, you know, whatever. Like, it's weird, but it doesn't, like, you know, mean anything. It's just, it's acting, it's whatever. Sure. But for her, I think it was a little bit harder to, like, get over that hump. So, like, while we were rehearsing it, she refused to do it. And she was just, like, getting really, really uncomfortable.
Did you at any point worry about your own breath?
No.
All right.
No.
Just saying.
I think at that point we talked about actually going the other way with it and having like a bad breath contest.
That's funny.
To just like see, just to, you know, break the ice a little bit. But yeah, fortunately it was also like the world's most juvenile kiss. Like if you watch it, it's so embarrassing to watch back because like if you watch this episode, it literally is the most like uninspired, wooden, completely horrible kiss where it's just two pairs of lips just like and then they stay there for like 2 seconds and then they come apart and the scene continues. It's like a really bad, not convincing sequence.
Dude, and hashtag iCarly lip bump.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Or it could, that could mean something else, I guess. Maybe you have a cold sore. Don't hashtag that. That wasn't
Don't hashtag that.
Thinking.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember like shooting that scene took so long to try to like get, and I remember we changed a lot of dialogue in that scene as we were going, just to, you know, keep it sort of fresh, and like as things were happening and things were sort of changing, there were sort of opportunities that presented themselves for dialogue changes. But when it came time to actually do that, it was really hard, because it's also really hard for adults who are watching this and who are in charge of making the scene look good to come out and like give kissing notes. So they're trying to be they're trying to be like very ginger about it, because it's really like uncomfortable doing that. But I think they noticed that it was also pretty, you know, stoic of a kiss. So they're trying to say like, hey, maybe like, just like maybe like move a little bit, or like just anything that looks like you're not just putting your faces together for 2 seconds and then pulling them apart, like just a little bit more like comfort, you know, with each other, or like affection or whatever. I don't even remember what they said, but they were just trying in the most innocent of terms to just say like,
yeah,
maybe like kiss better.
How many times do you think you actually kissed?
Probably no more than maybe 3 or 4.
Uh-huh.
The first one was just a wash. That one was probably like,
I thought you were gonna be like at least like 100 times. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
They just kept making us do it over and over again.
Honestly, I think they probably would have if there was time to do it, just to like make it more and more comfortable and more passe. But yeah, that was always kind of a point of not contention on the show, but like I always just knew when there was episodes where Jeanette and I had to kiss, it was just gonna be awkward. Like it was, you know, it was just, she wasn't super comfortable with it. And like, obviously I didn't love it either. It literally felt like kissing my sister. Mm. So that was kind of a strange thing that we sort of continually had to overcome. Cause there was also like an arc of episodes where Sam and Freddie were dating. And so there was a lot more of that going around, and it wasn't really super different in terms of like the comfort level at that point, even though it had only been a couple years. Cause if anything, we just like got closer. Yeah. So it only made it weirder.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So yeah, that was a little bit of a struggle, and one of the more uncomfortable things that we had to do. And looking back on it, it's definitely not my proudest acting moment. And I'm sure Jeanette would probably say the same thing.
Yeah. Well,
but we were also, you know, 15-year-old kids who didn't know what the heck we were doing. And maybe that like lends to the sweetness of it. I don't know.
This is why we need a reunion episode, man.
Yeah.
Taken out as adults.
Literally the whole thing is just everybody, you know.
iCarly After Dark. They're adults now. Ew. What?
Ew. Yeah. No. I don't know if I'd sign on for that one.
That's weird. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So wait, we gotta take a break here. We have to bring in Brent. We got to get some home improvement tips and stuff like that. But maybe we'll think of some more uncomfortable on-set moments and stuff, and have a few after we're done talking to Brent. We'll be right back on Adobe Radio with Radioactive Dads and our special guest, YouTube DIY
super sensation.
Yeah. Brent Gentling, right after this. Brent, we're already recording.
Nice to meet you too, bud. Welcome aboard.
We're already recording, and let's just jump in and start chatting, man. I mean, we've been friends for a very long time, and I was saying on the beginning of this episode that, like, you know when your friend does something or says, like, hey, I'm doing this thing, and you go, yeah, 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 and then your friend calls you back and goes, no, 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 I have, like, 100,000 people watching, and, like, I'm actually kind of a big deal, and then you're like, oh, yeah, that's what's up, and I'm just, hey, that's what's up. I don't have a question.
That happens sometimes in life, right?
Dude, oh man,
I'm so happy for you, man, and like so proud of you, and so just like inspired by you and like motivated by your work ethic and your success. And dude, congratulations, BYOT is really taken off. How did you even start doing it, or did you just look in the mirror and realize you'll be the most handsome person in Home Improvement and why not?
Yeah, I'm definitely the next Ty Pennington, right? You know, it's a funny journey. You know, life is definitely a true journey. And basically how it started was because I bought a home back in 2010. It was just the ugly duckling on the block. Just needed everything. I gutted the entire thing, gutted the kitchen, all three bathrooms, the deck, every single piece of plumbing, completely gutted out of the house.
Wow.
And I started using YouTube for everything because I didn't know how to put a whole house together and fully remodel it at the time.
Slow down. Dude, Nathan or I would not move into a house and just take it down to the studs. Like, you had to know a little bit of what you're, I mean, right, Nathan? Come on, back me up.
I mean, give me a crowbar and a sledgehammer and I'll destroy anything, but I can't guarantee that I also wouldn't knock out some critical home systems at the same time. Yeah, so yeah.
I'd be calling 811, I'd be calling 911. So come on, you had to have a little bit of experience.
Yeah, so obviously my background is building and construction based. So I did go to school for construction management and I had worked as a laborer at that time for a couple years throughout.
You loved it so much. You're like, I'm going to live in it too, man.
I want to be immersed in construction. But no, I mean, I truly didn't have a wealth of knowledge at that time to fully remodel a house. I had the general basics, and school can only teach you so much because it's real world application you have to then develop into. Mm-hmm. And so with me being me, I just started trying to take on all these projects and try and learn as much as possible. And I found YouTube extremely helpful in that because it really gave you the nuances and the details that you need to learn the process, because I'm a very visual learner.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, you know, years down the road, I could not find a video anywhere on a specific subject. And I said to my girlfriend at the time, why don't I create a YouTube channel to try and help someone else out in their journey? Because YouTube's helped me so much, I might as well try my hand at it. And that wasn't the first video I did, but it was the one that kind of got the ball rolling.
Yeah, I got it. And you got a lot of projects going on since you're living in, a pile of 2x4s.
Yeah, right.
Right? Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, though, dude, is like, you know, and Nathan knows too, and can back me up definitely. Like, we all have friends who have tried to make a YouTube channel. However, they don't get to 100,000 subscribers and find the success that you've found. So, like, not only did you have to have the expertise in the home building and stuff, but you also had to know how to shoot all these things because you do it all yourself, right? So what was that process like, figuring out the actually how to make these things and make them something that people are going to watch?
Mm-hmm. Well, from the very beginning, you know, in all honesty, I didn't know where it was going to take me. And I didn't even know if I was going to stick with it because of the fact that I didn't tell anyone about the YouTube channel for a year. Like, the only person I told was my direct family and my girlfriend, who is now my wife.
Was the second when YouTube was a bit like dating online, where it was like, I don't necessarily want to tell my parents.
Yeah, I know, right? Right? Because I'm not going to shout out to the world, hey, follow me on YouTube, and then it just flail after.
You would now, man. That's how people do it now. Shoot from the hip, baby.
But, you know, as I started on YouTube and as I basically developed those skills with video editing, voiceover and everything, I truly found the passion of what my life is now. And my passion in life not only is family, but is to try and help others learn how to build and create. And that's why I think the channel's really done very well, is because there's a lot of DIY channels out there that show the process and they have tremendous amount of viewership. But I find pride in the fact that I try and help others learn the process of building, which is why I get very detailed into that step-by-step process.
Yeah. And the videos, I mean, you do a lot of time-lapse, things like that. Like, what isn't, you know, I was here, Nathan, what do you think too? Like, jump in here, because like the running time on these things, you know, like Brent, what's the rule? Like, I don't know.
I would say, as far as, you know, kind of condensing everything down into a sizable, you know, consumable chunk.
Yeah.
So my videos, my raw footage is probably between an hour to 2 hours of raw footage for one project.
Right.
And I condense that down into a 10 to 20 minute long video. Right. Normally.
Yeah.
And so there is a lot of footage that I go through personally because, you know, I've tried to hire videographers, you know, editors, but it doesn't work out quite the way I want it to because of the fact that you have to have that builder mindset of knowing how things are put together and progress in a project. Yeah. And I personally have just taken that on, especially as it being my full-time position now. I dedicate myself to all the video editing and all the voiceover as well.
Yeah, I think that that's vital because like you said, there's so many videos and I'm exactly like you. And it's so cool that you took it to kind of that step of saying, well, screw this, I'm just going to do it myself. The fact that everything now is like, if something happens in my house or something happens to my car, the first thing I'm doing is going on YouTube and checking out YouTube University and saying, okay, how do I do this? Yeah. Because I'll go to, you know, WikiHow or something. And when it's just a list of steps and it's words, you know, that's maybe helpful for certain things, but like, I don't know, when my solenoid shorted out on my old car, I tried to look up how to do it through words.
You know, your solenoids from your celluloids.
Yeah, from my celluloids. I got that cottage cheese Mustang. I tried to look it up online, but the only way that I could figure it out was seeing people doing videos of it. Yep. And actually seeing, okay, so these are the steps that they do. This is when this happens. This is how hard they tighten that screw so that they didn't over tighten it or whatever. But then even within that, I would see videos where it was like, all right, so like, here's how to switch out a solenoid. You just like do this and then you do this and then, you know, it's done. And they edit out all of the parts that actually matter. And then in the comments are like, well, you didn't, all you did was just say, just do it. But you edited out the slow parts, which are the parts that we need to know how to actually do the thing. So the fact that I think it's really smart that you, because you have the builder mindset, haven't like outsourced that to an editor or a videographer who doesn't necessarily know, like, this is the critical step, exactly. You know, and you're looking at it as, okay, as in the mind of my audience, what is it exactly that they want to know? They're not just looking at the visual of like, oh, that's a fun thing to watch getting put together. You know, mm-hmm. you don't time lapse over the part that people are going to get tripped up on, even though it may not be the most like visually appealing or whatever. It's for informational purposes. So I think there's a lot of people that do YouTube videos wrong, and it's really cool that you're doing it in the right way.
When was the moment, Brent, for you when, like, after you started BYOT, which that's, hey, shout out to the channel, right? Isn't that how people find it?
BYO Tools specifically is my handle.
Yeah, I'm just so used to seeing just the logo.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
You messed up, Brett.
This is what happens when you drink during the show. Uh-oh. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, I know what I was going to ask. When was the moment, though, after you started it and you started putting videos out there and stuff, but what was the moment for you where you were like, oh, this is, people are starting to watch this. Like, wow, that's, and then how did that feel, too?
You know, it really, you know, within that first 2 years, because it's a very gradual process with YouTube, especially there's some, obviously some outliers, but inevitably it's a very gradual process and you have to be committed to a schedule on YouTube. Yeah. And at a certain point within the first couple of years of me doing it, it was so rewarding to start getting comments on, you know, from individuals, from strangers saying, I've been on the online for so long trying to find out how to do this. This is the best video by far on this subject. Thank you so much for producing it in a way where I can actually learn.
Yeah.
And that just became extremely impactful because I honestly saw feedback from individuals saying that they, you know, their project has been helped through my video.
Yeah, totally. What was the video though? What was the one that you were like, it's got 1,000 views? Like, what?
Yeah, that was.
There had to be that moment where you were like, wait a second. Like, because here's my thing. Like, consistency is what you hear. Oh, you have to put out videos consistently, blah, 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 blah. But doesn't it sometimes at the beginning feel like you're just putting videos out there into the dark? And how do you fight when that can like sap your motivation? You know what I'm saying? Or did you ever feel that?
You know, at a certain point you do, especially with as I got, or early on, you feel that just because you put so much time and energy into a video, mm-hmm. and then it just flatlines and nothing yeah. happens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
it's just, that's my problem. I can't get one of these things off the ground, man.
But, you know, some videos I've put 15 hours of video editing in and then another 8 hours of voiceover in on one specific video, and then it literally gets 200 views.
Yeah.
Early on. But, you know, I just kept with it because I felt there was a value in it. And personally, it was more cathartic for me because I wasn't in, you know, the right place as far as position wise, job wise. And it was just more of a creative outlet. And the one video that, you know, really started it all that really made me want to be on YouTube was a how to grow grass video, actually. It was a start to finish from literally, I wanted to see.
Because everyone's searching how to grow.
Yeah.
And then.
Grass. Grass.
Yeah, yeah,
grass.
Right, right.
Grass.
Yeah. And then
you have to look up those algorithms.
Then they see this jawline and they're like, whoa, who is
what is this?
No, that's okay, but anyway, sorry. I'm sorry to throw out.
No, you're fine.
How to grow grass video, but what made you notice like that this was different than the rest?
Well, it was obviously one because that was the one video where I just could not find a consistent message from start to finish on literally weeds to full on grass restoration. And that's why it triggered me to do a YouTube channel. Oh, and admittedly, that was the very first video on my channel that had over 1 million views, of course.
Oh, wow. Cool, man.
Yeah.
It's gotta just, I mean, I don't know. I've never had anything go that big before. That would be really cool. Do you realize the power you have?
You could just utterly misinform people if you wanted to.
how often do you put out videos and like, do you have a certain release schedule or how does that work?
Specifically, as of right now, I'm putting out a video almost every single week and it's every single weekend. Mm-hmm. So generally I post either Friday or Saturday every single week.
Yeah. Let's get into talking about some dad stuff. Shall we? Yeah.
Okay. Well, is it okay? I actually have a couple questions that I've always been kind of curious about. Can I do some?
Oh, like DIY stuff?
Yeah, kind of. They're kind of broad questions.
Wait. Hold on.
Hold on
to your excitement. We got to take a break. Hold on. She's feverishly waving her hands in the air. We have to take a break. And then we will get to the Nathan's DIY questions for Brent. And also I want to find out some, because he's a brand new dad. So we should, you know, and we're like old dads. We're like dads with like barnacles on our
We're crusty.
You know, we'll talk about all that stuff coming up next on Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio.
Welcome back to Radioactive Dads, everybody. Across the internet from me is my dear friend, fellow father and fellow podcaster, Brett Davern. I am Nathan Kress. We're a couple dads who were on popular TV shows back in the day, and now we do podcasts. And we have friends
we're
this week.
We're still trying to get back on popular TV shows. Oh, sorry.
We all are.
Right? Oh, man. Yeah,
my buddy Brent is here. He's a YouTuber, DIY guy. And Nathan, keep going.
Yeah, I just had a couple of questions.
Earlier, I felt bad about it.
Yeah, I just really got steamrolled here, and I had all these things that I wanted to talk about. So now is the time.
Okay.
So anyhow, I'm curious. You as a DIY guy, obviously, I've seen your videos. You run the whole gamut of resurfacing tables to setting up balcony hammocks off the side of a building. Really broad kind of stuff. What are your most and least favorite things to work on? Like for me, like I hate plumbing. I like electrical. I'm fascinated by it. So like what are your things that like when you know you need to make a video and people are asking about it, but you're like, oh, I don't want to because I hate working on this. What are your like pluses and minuses of what you prefer to do?
So I would say my plus specifically is I love woodworking, especially nowadays, because I feel it's very cathartic and I love the sanding process. I don't know why. It's one of those things where you kind of just zone out, you can sand for hours and you can make something that truly lasts for generations. you know, I'm sitting down at my dining room table that I made on the channel, and it's gorgeous. Family is so important to me. So I love being able to appreciate a project that we can all cherish and have a good meal at every single night. And that's what I truly love.
That's awesome.
What do you hate? Because I
hate what do I hate?
I do not want to paint, dude. Don't ask me to trim. I don't want to do the trim. Listen, if you want the whole room to be one color, I mean the ceiling and the floors and the walls, I'm your man.
Easy.
But don't ask me to do any of that trim or tape anything off. I can't stand painting. What can't you stand?
Well, it's funny you ask this question because it has come up recently. And there's one thing that I'm very good at, but I can't stand, in all honesty, and that's tile work.
Oh,
really? Oh, yeah.
And I am very good at tile because I've done it so many times, but because I know what goes into it and how much effort it takes to get something, you know, beautifully set and level. One, it's time consuming. One, it's messy. And lastly, it's painful because you're always on your hands and knees trying to tile a floor or in a weird corner because you're trying to tile a surface. I just did this crazy rounded pizza oven for Chihuly Garden Glass. And it took me literally 4 days of 12-hour days working on it just to tile this one oven. And it was just a beast. It was exhausting. It looks beautiful in the end, but it's not my favorite thing by far.
That's a big project. That's a famous place.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful.
That was, by the way, put up your umbrellas. That was a big name you just dropped. I don't know what a lot of people said, but you guys can.
Oh, me and Dale.
That was a big name. That was a big name.
So now that may answer this question, but have you ever started a job that by the end you just regretted it so much, like ever having gotten involved in this thing that you just wish like you could have gone back in time and never even started?
Where you would want to kick it at the end. You're like, F that. I don't ever want to see that thing again.
Yep. I totally did a project for a community college. I won't say which one, but inevitably I made these super deluxe shelves and this wood countertop, but it just took forever to do. It was, you know, I love learning new skills, but these skills were somewhere I knew I was never going to be using them ever again because I would never build these shelves for anyone else.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things that just, why did I get myself into this? What's going on? Okay, just get the project done and you'll be done with it.
Yeah.
This is Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio. I'm Brett, one of the usual co-hosts of the show. He's Nathan, the other usual co-host. And joining us today is our very special guest, Brent Gentling of BYO Tools on YouTube. Nathan, more questions from you.
Yeah, last one, and this kind of I think segues into what we want to talk about. It's funny that you say one of the things that you really enjoyed was doing your dining room table as like a project, that it's something that's going to sort of be with you forever. And especially if you ever move, it's something that comes with you, you know, so it's almost like an heirloom piece. And that's something I did something similar with my wife, London. We did a coffee table that we got at a thrift store, and I sanded the whole thing down. It was like a really kind of 90s sort of pine varnish thing, so very sort of out of date. And so we got it all smooth. We did sort of a two-tone thing with a really, really beautiful, because the wood under it was gorgeous and I couldn't believe that it was being covered up. But we did like a really dark, like espresso finish on it. And then the body of it and the legs, we did like a chalk paint thing and did crackle stuff on it to do sort of an antiquing deal.
Dim the lights. Brett and I
know. Let me set the stage. Espresso. Let me set the stage for you.
Hold on.
But it was cool because this was a project that we did like at that time we were still engaged, but it was a really cool one-on-one project that we did together. And it was kind of a bonding experience, and like the challenges of it, we were kind of trying to learn to like communicate and delegate and do different things at the same time and come to agreements on how we wanted it to look and everything. And this may not be something that you've done, but have you ever found that like any of the projects that you do, have you ever done it like with your partner as sort of something that you do together, or is she ever involved in it? Does she like to do that kind of thing? Or is that kind of something that is sort of your personal outlet and you like sort of doing on your own?
You know, in all honesty, I'm more the hands-on individual and I'm the one in the shop. I will give my wife full credit for the fact that she came up with the name of my brand and my channel. So she gets all rights to that aspect. But as far as being working on the channel on a project with me, I think the only one was when we did the yard that I was discussing. Mm-hmm. She helped pull weeds for a good couple hours and helped deliver dirt in specific locations. And that lasted for a couple more hours, but then she realized this is not for her.
Well, she's very busy with a completely different career usually too, though.
Of course. But the one thing that I really look forward to that we haven't gotten into yet is that I do have a brand new baby girl in my life.
Yeah.
I want to get there. I want to talk all about it.
I cannot wait to take on projects in the garage and teach her all the tools. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So come on, let's get into all of that. How old is she? What's life been like since having baby? Give everybody out there and us the details.
So to give you a little bit of backstory, so she is 2.5 months old. Her name is Isla Grace, and she's just the cutest bundle of joy that is a little hellion at some points, as always. It's a true blessing in our life, because we have had our own infertility issues throughout the years, and it's plenty of people have gone through it. We're open about it. We went through multiple rounds of IUI. We looked at a bill for $30,000 for IVF, and we just could not take the plunge at that point. And at that point, we really decided, at that point I was actually working with another position, and we just sat down and we just needed a life change, because we were so, you know, it was taking over our lives.
Yeah,
so
emotionally draining I bet.
Yeah, it's completely emotional draining. And so inevitably at a certain point we just said, you know, we want to provide a really positive outlook on no matter what our family's going to look like in the end. So we took the plunge. I told her I was going to quit my job, which I did, and went full into YouTube and DIY construction, which was a unique process.
I think you made a good choice, man. You're crushing it on there. Can I ask you, though, more kind of like technical question about this world out there of this like YouTube or internet thing and everything? Because you do great on YouTube, but also TikTok, man. That's taken off lately, and you're also on there and blowing up over there.
I got big news.
I'm an old man. Don't even ask me to do
it. Big news. Shut up, Brett. He's got big news.
All right.
We literally woke up this morning to 100,000 followers on TikTok.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow. And that didn't take 5 years like YouTube did or whatever.
Oh, seriously. I wish YouTube was that quick. I literally started taking TikTok seriously back in June, and we were already surpassed my subscriber count on YouTube, which is insane.
Wow. Wow, man.
That's insane.
So how does that work, though? Because, I mean, I know nothing about TikTok, but it seems like to explain things or whatever, you need a little bit more time. How does it work on TikTok, which isn't that like kind of a short thing? Or what are you doing over there?
No, great question. So inevitably, with COVID and when COVID started, I was just trying to find different avenues to try and help people out there. And I started doing a series on my YouTube channel that was called Quick Tip Tuesdays. And it was just very short form tips that anyone could use. And I started posting them on YouTube, but apparently my viewership did not like it, because I was actually losing subscribers when I was posting my videos. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Taking your shirt off.
Yeah. And so at a certain point, one of my fellow YouTube friends, she's like, come over to TikTok and try and use that as the platform. And so I started using it. And the one thing that really jumped out to me from the very beginning was I posted a video on YouTube that maybe got 1,000 views. I posted almost the same exact video on TikTok that was just an easy, quick tip. Within a week had over 1.5 million views. Jeez. And I said, okay, something's going on this platform that's perfect for more short form, quick tips that anyone can use.
Well, I mean, dude, come on. You're also the most genuine dude in the world, and you're good at what you do. And, you know, don't be too humble. You crush it. And that's why they keep coming back, man, because you do such a great job.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
you got any questions for a couple of old dads? You got any, we can give you some advice or something. What do you think?
Oh, well, how about this? I got a good one right off the bat.
We need to get a quick tip from you, but before we do, you want to ask two.
Yeah, before we do, how about sleep training? Because that's coming up in the very near future, and I would love a few tips on sleep training.
All right. Well, hey, before we get started, Nathan, we only have like a few minutes. Okay. So.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try to be as short-winded as possible. No, you go. You're the older one.
I was going to make it really short. Okay. We totally did cry it out, dude. We did cry it out. There's a great book that is called Brain Rules for Baby. I don't know who wrote it or whatever, but you can Google that. Brain Rules for Baby. And it comes at it from a very scientific angle. And it gives you the science on what sleep studies have done. And it comes at it from more of an analytical thing. And it basically said that no matter which method you pick, it doesn't really matter in the end. It's sort of your own thing, but the cry it out is generally faster, so that's why we went with that one. And it was the hardest thing we've ever done, but also the best thing we've ever done. So that's me.
Yeah, looking that up.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we didn't really have any specific resources other than literally just like Google and asking what other people did on forums and stuff. But I completely agree. We did cry it out as well, and that's what our pediatrician recommended. And you know, there's a lot of people who say like, how could you let your baby, like all the cortisol in their system, they're from all the crying, the stress hormones, but like it takes a few days and they're not going to remember it. You know, like it is so, so worth a couple of days of agony, mostly for you. And for your spouse, as you're like looking at each other, hearing your baby screaming on the monitor going, don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it. You're not going to cave. I'm not going to cave. But then one of you is like, I'm going to do it. And then the other one's like, don't you do it. So it's honestly harder on the parents because there's a lot of like one person wants to go and then the other person has to be strong. But then you guys trade off. But then the mom is like, my maternal intuition says that something is wrong. I'm vetoing you. But to be fair, I will say that's actually a tip. That is kind of a thing because every once in a while they will cry a little bit different. And London would say like, okay, no, something's wrong. This isn't just cry it out. I'm going to go down there. And it ended up being the right call. So use your judgment. It doesn't literally have to be like under no circumstances am I going down there. Like if you hear them like choking or coughing or the cry just gets different, that could mean that like something else is going on.
We kind of did, Nathan, you're going to remember the name of this. We did a cry it out. It was like a modified cry it out where it's like there's intervals. You let them cry for a certain amount of time.
The Ferber method
is longer. Yeah. It's a bit of a modified thing. So it's,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, yeah. Thing. You're right.
I just always assume derm CQ patches, you know, you start with one. You know,
When we say cry it out, I think that's honestly what most people mean now. It's not literally like you just sit there and let them cry until they go to sleep. You go in there and it's like you leave them for 2 minutes and then you come in and you say a phrase. You leave them for 5 minutes and then you come in and pat them on the butt and say a phrase. And then you extend it every night. It gets a little bit longer. And we found that like it would be cry, cry, cry. And then finally, once we got to the point where we were leaving her for 10 minutes, after 10 minutes, boom, gone for the night.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we were like, yeah, it was really fast. And we finally realized it just took like that little bit of success to make us realize, okay, you know, this is it. It's agony, but it is worth it for a lifetime of having a good sleeper.
Parenting is like starting a YouTube channel. You have to have a good schedule and you have to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's true for most things in life. Just be consistent, work hard at it. And you know, maintain it, you know, work on it like a garden or whatever metaphor you want to use. Boys, we've talked for too much time. She's gonna have to edit that part out. What? Oh, quick tip. Sorry. How much time do we have though, real quick, since you'll edit this out anyway? Oh, 6 minutes?
Oh, that's tons of time.
Oh, tons of time. Oh, I miscalculated. I'm sorry. Oh, you were giving me the oh my God.
Katie.
Jeez. No, Brent, wait, let me do it better than that. Hold on. Gentlemen, we've covered a lot of ground here. Before we get out of here, Brent, give us some quick tips, buddy. What's been your latest one or can you give us an exclusive?
Well, I do have a couple of my favorite quick tips. And with these tips, anyone and everyone can utilize them. And specifically, who hangs pictures and who actually screws a couple screws or a few nails into your drywall, and all of a sudden you get all that dust. All the dust. Yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I love, because I don't like to drag out the vacuum just for all these small miscellaneous framing projects that my wife loves to give me. So I created this. So this is literally a piece of paper with three pieces of tape.
Oh my God, this is the greatest.
On the wall, right underneath wherever you're drilling, and it
what?
Encapsulates all your dust.
Oh! And
throw it away.
Look at that.
Animal.
Are you kidding me? That's why he's crushing on TikTok. That is amazing.
Crushing TikTok like he's crushing paper.
You're going to have to watch this video or something, or check out. Is that on YouTube? Is that on your channel right now or TikTok?
That's on my YouTube and my TikTok.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're going to have to go. Wait, give out all the how to find yous and everything.
So specifically, my handle is BYOTools. So BYOTOOLS on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, so forth.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah. So you can look at what that paper looked like folded up. What else you got? You got any more?
Yep. I got one more. So
visual aids for every one of them too. I love it. Yep.
Specifically, if you've ever done any painting, you might have something on your rim that looks like this.
Yeah.
Where it kind of just coats after a while and it gets super grimy. And if you want to do some touch-up paint, it always looks disgusting and it doesn't last very long. Well, what I always suggest to do is actually take a nail or a pin and actually hammer in that inside rim and actually puncture into it, because that way when you pour it out and you let it sit, it drains through those holes. And because you have a lid that encapsulates that rim, it closes off and you don't have to worry about any drips whatsoever after that.
Yeah. And then the seal like pushes it down through the hole.
I told you, it's the greatest. I told you.
Wow.
Wait a second. We got to make this a regular thing. You got to come back. Like,
yeah, I need you, Brent.
Like once a month or something, Brent comes and just like does his like crazy DIY voodoo magic stuff for us. Like, Nathan and I are both sitting around mouths wide open, just like, oh, I've never thought of that.
I am the gate.
Both those tips are on my YouTube and on my TikTok.
Oh, that's awesome. Wait, you got more?
No, sorry. Right, I didn't.
All right. No more visual aids?
all right. Next time. We'll get more.
Next time.
We'll get next more time. Next time. Oh, dude. Well, hey, man. Thank you for coming on. Thanks for being our third guest on this show, in this show's history, and hopefully more, because I want more of those tricks.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, if you guys want more tips and tricks and to follow Brent and everything, you guys look for BYO Tools wherever you're looking around on YouTube or TikTok or whatever your kids are into these days. I don't know. dude, I couldn't be happier for you. Quitting your job, taking a risk like you did and seeing it work out so far and you know, knock on wood and all that, and just continued success. But it's inspiring, man. It's motivating.
No, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Nathan, final thoughts?
Oh, man. Well, like Brett said, you're going to have to be around because I just have a list of questions that I'm going to need to be asking you about. This is one of the greatest things that's ever happened. I can finally give my dad a break at this point. Because
yes.
I'm so used to
your go-to.
Yeah, you could be my kind of tool dad.
That should be the tagline for the YouTube channel, like BYO Tools. Like, don't stop calling your dad altogether, but you kind of can about this.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just call him to check in about like how he's doing and, you know, what newspaper he's been reading lately. Now it doesn't have to be like, Dad, how do I turn off my water?
Yeah, totally.
You know,
that's awesome.
That's so true. Well, yeah. Again, thank you so much for coming and being involved. I think this will honestly be a big asset to our people who are listening at home, who are our age and starting to have to know how to do things and fix things. It's a weird phase of life, you know, being a bunch of millennials and Zers out there, especially now that we're all locked down in our houses, we got nothing better to do. So again, everybody, make sure you check out that stuff. Learn some things. It's all really, really good, important day-to-day stuff. And if you have anything else that you want us to talk about, and Brent as well, shoot us an email, radioactivedads@gmail.com for any more long form questions. Also feel free to just shoot us a DM at radioactivedads on Instagram or Twitter. And we look forward to hearing from you and talking about whatever you want us to talk about. So Brett, again, thank you so much for coming. Happy to have you. Congratulations on your new baby girl. Looking forward to getting some updates on her. Good luck with the sleep training too, because that's definitely one of the hardest things to have happen. Also, quick pro tip, make sure your door is open during sleep training, because I walked into a door one time that was halfway open and closed, and I still have, it was in our old house, but when we moved out, there was still a chapstick lip print in the door. And I had a giant like goose egg across my whole face because I thought that the door was open and walked smack into it. So when you're bleary eyed at 3 o'clock in the morning and your eyes are not open, just make sure that door is not in your way. That's a face saving tip to protect that gorgeous jawline of yours.
No, it's a cell.
Yeah, yeah. We all help each other out on this show.
Look at this. Look at my
back. Yeah, that next video.
Bust through that door.
Yeah, Kool-Aid Man style.
That's it. I'm okay. All right. I'm muting both of you. That's it. Forget it. We're done. Over. Out of here. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I'm on.
Thank you.
This has been Radioactive Dads. Bye-bye.